I read a book. I just said that to impress Zach. I read a book years ago. In the chapter in the book was a chapter entitled Finishing Strong. I found out some stuff I didn't know, which isn't hard to do. But there were three preachers. One of them was Billy Graham, and he was the worst preacher of the three. Two of the other gentlemen were a lot better preachers. One decided to go to Hollywood, walk out the rest of his life in the world. The other one went to Africa, where his wife died after having a baby. He came back to America, left his daughter with a family over there, and became an alcoholic. He had made up his mind that his ministry was useless in Africa, that nothing had happened. So his daughter came back in her 20s, found her dad, and told him, "Dad, I know you think you were a failure." It was like Paul Tucker told us when he was over, and he said, "But one young man accepted Christ when you were over there. And now he's a leading evangelist in Africa. And many people gave their lives to the Lord." His dad, her dad repented, rededicated his life to the Lord, died a few months later. A lot of people start out the race strong and finish weak. I've determined in my life, and I pray for this church, that no matter what we've been through as Christians, and no matter what the past looks like, and remember, don't let your past dictate your future, okay? Amen. The past is that. What lies ahead of you is what we're pressing on to. And so my prayer is that I'll finish strong. My prayer is that this body will finish strong. And there can be hiccups, okay? There can be speed bumps. There can be times we go through things and we look at them and said, "How in the world could I have made that decision? Or how in the world did this ever happen? Or what is going on in my life that I would mess up that bad?" But let's make a commitment together. God doesn't take us from mess to mess. God takes us from glory to glory.
Amen.
And so where you are right now is the lowest you're ever going to be.
Amen.
Two of you said amen. Come on, folks. Amen. I know you're right next to heaven. I understand that, but I'm preaching to me then. And so we come to a place where we forget where we were and we press on to where we're going.
Amen.
And as I was working on this, I just started putting some things together. I'm determined not to let sin influence my decisions. I'm determined that I'm going to shine as a light for Jesus Christ, and I pray that you'll join with me. There are things we have to look at, but I want us to understand God never leads us to sin. God cannot be tempted and does not tempt anyone to sin. Are we okay with that?
Yes, sir.
God wants to lead us into victory.
Amen.
And going back into sin is nothing but defeat. And so I want to determine in my life, I'm going to walk this out. And I'm going to get closer to God daily. I'm going to walk in the Word of God daily. I'm going to live by the Holy Spirit daily. I'm not going to compromise.
That's right, amen.
Come on, folks. We got the truth.
That's right.
What do we need to compromise? What do we need to give up? What do we need to change? Our focus just needs to be more on Christ.
Amen.
And walking this out. Sin will never satisfy a need I have. I want you to think about that. Sin will never satisfy any of your needs. Sin will make your needs greater.
That's correct.
We okay?
Yes, sir.
Sin will make your needs greater. It's our purpose to walk with God and demonstrate the freedom from the bondage of Satan so those out there can experience the freedom of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. I just got a few things I want to... It's great to have the Osbournes with us. We love them. Oh, we had a lot of time around the table together, and what a friendship. And Paul writes, chapter 2, verse 1. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart, united in love, so that they may have full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this, that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in the body, I am present with you in the spirit and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith is in Christ. So then, just as you receive Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith, as you were taught, and overflowing with thanksgiving. My goal is that they may be encouraged. Encouraged. You will not be encouraged by looking at things in the world. We're in a mess. Things seem to be falling apart daily. And I understand that the answer to the mess is God. I understand that. David, King David at one time invaded another country. And while they were gone, the Moabites came in and stole their wives and their children. Anybody remember that story? When they came back, there was nobody there. David's men were determined that they were going to kill him. You know, the guys that kind of went and got water through the Philistines, the guys that laid down their life for David, the guys that loved him. When they got back and their families was gone, they talked about stoning him. And the Bible says this: David encouraged himself in the Lord. In other words, David got with God and said, God, how are we going to handle this? How are you going to do this? How is this going to work out? And there are times, as we look at things, as we look at family issues, or we look at sickness, or we look at other things, discouragement seems to take over. Have you ever been in a place when words just seemed empty? Someone came along and pat you on the back and said, hey, it's going to be okay. Yeah, who in the world are you telling me it's going to be okay? What are you going through? I know you never had that attitude, but I did. Wonderful Christian attitude. And we don't know what to do. We know we have Christ. Okay, we know we have Christ. But yet discouragement seems to reign. And I'll tell you, the only answer to that is being like King David and spending time with God. When I was getting up this morning and all of a sudden that thing of fear just took over. No, hey, you're going to die. You're not going to be around. Your family's going to miss you. Just sat down and said, okay, God, enough of this stinking fear. Enough is enough. Satan doesn't know when he overplays his hand, okay? And he doesn't know, he can't read your mind. He's not going to know how you respond to him. I remember one night I was going to be preaching on the blood of Jesus. It was a Saturday night, and all of a sudden I woke up. You ever just kind of wake up sound and something was wrong? You know, what's wrong? Then I saw this dark shadow at the end of my bed. And all of a sudden, the devil's here, or one of his friends are here. You know what happened? I just said, okay, he's here, so what? In the name of Jesus, in the blood of Jesus Christ, you got to go.
Amen.
Get out of my house.
Amen.
And he left. He'll try to bring words of discouragement, of pain, of anguish, of fear, of doubt. He'll make you so self-centered because everything's about you or me. I've been there. But God says, hey, I want to encourage you. I want to get you through this. And you're not going to get through it by looking for people for your help or the devil for your help. You're only going to get through it by looking to me to bring you encouragement. And God doesn't fail you. That's when a renewed mind really helps. If you're pressing in for the renewed mind, keep pressing in. Because we need to learn to think differently. And we need to focus on that. And he said, then I want you united in love. Look around. Look around this place. Stand up and look around if you have to. You know, it's amazing what God's doing in people's lives as we decide to unite together and love one another. As we set aside, I mean, I don't expect that you agree with everything I say. I can't help it if you have bad taste. But in all seriousness, we see things differently. You believe that? Okay. But yet, you're not going to hate someone because they think a little differently. We love people.
Amen.
Come on in. If God made everybody like me, some of us wouldn't be necessary. Right? It's true. You know, somebody marrying somebody exactly like themselves sometimes have problems. God made us diverse. When it comes to doctrine, God made the Bible. God made it so we could, you know, he didn't say just take it blindly. He says, let the Holy Spirit teach you. And there are times, now forgive me, I'm just meddling a little bit. There are times that different interpretations of different scripture are necessary for that moment. Because you're going through something and that scripture taken that way at that time is right for you. You say you're changing the Bible? Not at all. 'For God so loved the world, okay? How many believe that?
Amen.
So how many of you have ever believed God didn't love you? If If he loves the whole world, why wouldn't he love us? We take it differently. And so God wants us to come together and be united in love.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something, and Kirk touched on it last Sunday. You can never exaggerate the goodness of God.
Right.
You can't do it. It's impossible. And you can't over-exaggerate his love. And so he says, I want you to experience my love so you can love one another.
Yes.
Not just so, hey, God loves me, No. How many of you ever were sinners? Just one. How many of you know why you were in sin? Christ died for you. He loved you. And so be united in that love. That means anybody that walks through that door is loved.
Amen.
Is honored. I don't care how they've lived, when they walk through that door, they have value in this place because they have value with God.
Amen.
And when that changes, we don't need to be open anymore. And so God says, through Paul, I want you to be united in love. That they may have the full riches of complete understanding in order they may know the mystery of God. Now that's a very interesting question. What is the mystery of God? How many know? How many are going to believe I tell you? The mystery of God is very simple. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 3, and this is a mystery. This is the mystery. Okay? Say mystery.
Mystery.
Say Pastor Fearing may be right. I don't want to indoctrinate you without you willing. The mystery is that the Jews and the Gentiles could be made one. You say, it can't be that simple. Yeah, it is. Do you realize that at one time Jesus told his disciples not to go to who? The Gentile. And now, if you want to go there, go back to Ephesians 3. I better show you just so you can look for another answer. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse number 4. In reading this, then, you'll be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. Okay, so what does insight mean?
Knowledge.
Knowledge?
Understanding.
So Paul is saying, I'm writing this to you so you may know my insight. Which was not made to people and made known to people in other generations, as it was now revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. Okay, this mystery is, does that seem like an answer? Huh? Are we close? I know, you think you're being duped. I'm not going to dupe you. This mystery is, through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together in one body, and sharers together in the promise of Jesus Christ. Look at me. This gospel is not a white man's gospel, and it's not a Jewish gospel.
That's right.
It's a heavenly gospel.
Amen.
It's a gospel to all people. And the mystery was, and read chapter 2. And Paul says that again, and he says, now you are no longer foreigners and aliens from the commonwealth of promise and from God. He brought us in.
Amen.
That we might be part of that. Skip with me down to verse number 6 in chapter 2. Here we go with finishing strong. So then, just as you receive Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live your life in Him. Okay, look at me. This walk in Christ is not a momentary thing. It's not I'm going to pray a sinner's prayer and I'm going to go live like I want, okay? If any man be in Christ, he's a same old person.
No, he'll
say it. Nothing changes.
No, nothing has become
new. If anyone be in Christ, he's made a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new.
Amen.
We talked about Wednesday night. The problem we have in a lot of people's lives is that they go back to what they know best. If they've only been a Christian for a little while and pressure and stress, like the sowing of the seed, remember the sowing of the seed? Persecution, and things came and people went back to what they knew best. We need to come to a place where the one we know best is Jesus Christ. The old has passed away. The new has become. We're walking toward God. Our lives are living for Jesus. And when things come, we go to the one we know best.
Amen.
We go to Jesus. It's pretty amazing. It's a wonderful life. You know, Paul a couple times looks at the churches. One time in Philippi, and he says, let us walk worthy. Let us walk worthy. So the church at Colossae, and he tells us, let us walk this life out, worthy of what Christ gave for us. And so we come to a place. I don't want to live my life in survival mode. I want to live my life in victory.
Amen.
I want to live my life overcoming. I want to live my life walking in the Spirit. I want to live my life being led by the Spirit. I want the power of God to saturate my life. I want to hear from God. I want revelation and wisdom and knowledge. I want the gifts of the Spirit. But more than all that, I want the fruit of the Spirit. And so we walk this life in victory, not looking back to what we left. You know, I'm sure if you had friends when you were in the world and you got saved, they looked at you and said, but you have to give up all this. Man, you got to give up throwing up in the morning, and you got to give up hangovers, and you got to give up all this stuff. Really? You know something? I can never give up anything compared to what Jesus gave up.
That's right.
Never give up anything compared. I don't have any nails in my wrists. I didn't have a spear in my side. And yet he did that so I could be free from the bondage of the old life. The old life had nothing to offer. There was pleasure there for a season, but it's amazing how the devil can take that pleasure and turn it into bondage. So Paul says, as you received him, just walk it out. Finish strong. Look at your life and say, I'm going to finish this life for Jesus Christ. I'm going to stand before God someday and he's going to say, well done. Can you imagine what that'll feel like? Can you imagine walking before the King of Kings or kneeling before the King of Kings and Jesus looks at you and says, you did well? Because most of us think we can never measure up. Do you ever figure out who you're trying to measure up to? There's only one. He's Jesus.
Amen.
And you know something? When you accepted him, you measured up. Come on. You miss a great place to shout amen, hallelujah, do a little jig dance. Wow. When I accepted Christ and I determined in my life that I'm going to serve him and I'm going to pursue him and I'm going to allow him to lead me by his Holy Spirit and minister to me, I measured up to what he wanted.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm not fully there yet, but it's there. Number two, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him and strengthened in the faith. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel. You keep going through that, through the opening of prison doors and giving sight to the blind, and it says, you will be like oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Rooted. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4, be rooted in love.
Yes.
Be rooted. Let your roots go down in Christ so deep. Strengthened. In other words, stand firm. There's no wind that can blow you away from God.
Amen.
Stand. How many have ever put on the armor of God?
No.
Having done all to stand, stand, the Bible says. We stand in Christ. Firm. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We come to a place where it says that we just stand firm in him. We're anchored in Christ. He's our rock. He's our fortress. I don't need any compromise. I don't need to compromise with people of the world. I can be working with them and ministering to them, but my faith is the key to my life. And I walk this life out so they see a consistency in my life in Christ. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15. I want to read that to you. Verse number 58 says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. No, your labor for the Lord is not in vain. God understands everything you go through. He understands why you do what you do. Why you live like you live. But what he wants to bring you to a place is you understand how much power he has to get you through every situation. Judy, stand up, will you? Some of you haven't met my wife. She's been coming back. And it was tough. It was tough sitting by your wife's bed knowing she didn't know you were there. It was tough, and when she bled out most of her blood or a lot of her blood, it was tough because they kicked me out of the room. I stood outside, and one of the tech people came out and said, she's not out of the woods. And I thought, I better call my family. But you know something? God was always there.
Amen.
Just like with Paul. God was there. And you've gone through that with your spouses. You've gone through that sometime with your children. But stand firm. Stand tall. Put on the whole armor of God that you can stand against the scheming devices of the devil. And having done all to stand, stand.
Amen.
You don't have to chase the devil. Just stand there. Mm-hmm. Stand there in the power of Jesus Christ. And God has given you divine strength to face whatever the enemy is throwing at you.
Right.
As temptation comes, stand. Listen. God knows what it's like to go through temptation. His own son went through it. But what did he do? He stood on the word of God. And then, as we talked about Wednesday night, the Bible says in Luke chapter 4 that Satan departed until an opportune time. Satan departed till Jesus was in the garden, sweating drops of blood. And I would love to have heard what he said to him. If you really want to go through this, Jesus, then you're going to suffer. I'm going to do everything I can to you. I'm going to make it so miserable for you that you can't handle it. And Jesus just looked at the Father and said, Father, if there's no other way, I'm going through it. I'm going through it. When you recognize Christ and you're willing to stand firm and the winds of all different kinds of things aren't blowing you around, that's the strongest point of your life. That's the strongest point of your life. I understand a lot of things that I never used to wrap my head around. But I understand that when you're facing temptation and financial debt and sickness, pain, frustration, we always tend to think that's our weakest moment. Why not turn that around and let it become our strongest moment? Paul experienced that. Some of you have experienced that. It's a time when God just seems so close. Even though we don't have the answers. Even though things may look dark. There's a side to that stress you go through that's bright in Jesus Christ, because he's there to walk you through it. So today, let's look at it. Your life. Let this day be the weakest in the rest of your life. You say, what are you talking about? Every day from now on, I'm growing. I'm getting stronger. Let this be a day of separation. You say, oh, you just talked about unity. No. Let it be a separation from what the world has to offer you compared to what God has to offer you. Let's separate. Let's separate from the guilt and condemnation of sin and step into the righteousness and peace of God. That's where he wants you to be. And you may say, well, I don't know. I don't know if he'd accept me. Who told you that? See, that's also a lie of Satan.
That's right.
Whoever comes to me, I will in no wise what? Cast out. So is that for everybody but you? I don't think so. You say, but I tried that and I messed up. So what? So did Peter. So did Paul. I mean, would you love a guy that lose his temper and make you go home? Send Barnabas? I'm not going with you no more if you're going to take that young man with you. I'm sick of him. You say, oh, am I paraphrasing Paul? No. He and Barnabas had a sharp discussion, right? But he still lived for Jesus. Put the anger behind us.